you get to be a certain age, you all, you know, you get to the point that you ought to notice patterns. Like, you know, things that tend to happen when you are going through some kind of a change on the inside. There's some kind of corresponding thing on the outside that seems to happen. And the thing that I've noticed is that whenever I go through a big level of awakening, I can always tell because I always have a more intimate group of people. Because it's, I don't know why, except that it kind of reminds me of that in Jonathan Livingston Seagull, where when he died and went to the next level, he was like, he was saying, "Boy, I'm surprised that there's so few goals here." You know, and he was surrounded by goals before, you know. So every time you go to another level, then you connect up with people at that level that you are, and then you begin to learn everything about that level, and then you attract more and more mighty companions and you support each other, and you study the same thing together, and you talk about the same thing together, and you focus on the same thing together, and then that creates like an incubation for all of you, and then you hatch into another level, and then you go through that same process again. And I know that that's what's been happening to me, is that the transformations and the changes have been happening faster and faster and deeper and deeper. And I noticed that the people around me could, you know, change very rapidly. And you know, some that just stick around no matter what. because you're in the same order of learning. So for whatever reason, so I'm glad to see that we all still on the same ride, because I see some familiar faces. And then I see some that I don't see as often.
Yeah.
But what I would like you to do right now is I'd like for you to just take a deep breath. What we want to do is we want to try to become present. Because in order to hear what we're going to hear tonight, you need to be really present. If you're not present, you won't hear it, obviously. So take a breath. And what I'd like to ask you to do is ask yourself, why am I here? Why did I come? What do I want to get out of this? Why did I come? What is it I need an answer to? What is it that I need to see a different way? What is it that I need to open my mind up to? In what area of my life am I hoping that I'm wrong? Where is it that you don't want to be right because you know you don't feel good about it? You don't have to believe these ideas. Spirit tells us one of the rules of awakening is that you don't have to believe it. You don't have to accept it. You don't have to welcome it. If you really want to wake up, some of it you have to make it okay for it to be hard to believe. If you want to wake up, you make it okay for some of it to startle you. So to go to the next level, we have to be willing to hear ideas that are hard to believe. In order to go to the next level, you have to be open to hearing ideas that are hard to believe and even quite startling. So we're here tonight, Spirit, Universe, God, so that you can lay some stuff on us that we're going to find hard to believe and quite startling. Also, Spirit says to us, if you really want to wake up to the love that you are, if you really want to get out of pain and conflict, then you there's no need for you to judge the ideas at all. So analyzing the ideas, that's not necessary. It's not necessary to analyze the ideas. It's not necessary to analyze the ideas. It's not necessary to analyze what we're going to hear tonight. So I'm not going to analyze the course. If you have a need to be in a course class where we analyze the ideas, this is probably not the right course class. We're going to use the ideas. It's the use of the ideas that give the ideas meaning to us. It's the use of the ideas that show us that they're true. It's the use of it, not the analyzation of it. It's the use of it. So we're going to take whatever we hear tonight, and we're going to use the ideas without necessarily believing them, accepting them, welcoming them, believing them. We're just going to use them. We're going to pretend like it's true, even if we don't believe it. We're just going to use the ideas. because you are incredible, incredible, incredibly powerful beings, incredibly lovable beings. And you shouldn't be experiencing anything other than love. You shouldn't be experiencing anything other than freedom and safety and health and wealth and abundance and joy. You should never be lonely. You should never be afraid. You should never be in a state that you're worrying. So we know that we deserve more than what we give ourselves. We deserve more than what we give ourselves. So take a breath and silently tell yourself, I am entitled to miracles. That's the same as saying, I am entitled to states of completion and abundance. I am entitled to states of completion and abundance. I am entitled to love. I am entitled to healing. Remind yourself that you are entitled, that we are entitled to peace. It's not something that we deserve after we've been good. Okay, everybody's glad to be here. Would you please raise your hand? Okay, so I'm in a room full of people that's glad to be here, right? Okay, so I want to tell you something. There are three levels of relationship. And we're going to talk about that first part of this evening. I want to share something with you from the workbook. It's on page 7 in the Manual for Teachers, page 7. The Manual for Teachers. There's some longer copies up front. Be good. It'd probably be easier for you to stay conscious if you follow along, I promise you. Now, first of all, you are a teacher of God. And the Course says that the teacher of God has no set teaching level. Each teaching learning situation involves a different relationship at the beginning, although the ultimate goal is always the same, to make of the relationship a relationship that's a holy relationship, which is a healing relationship. That's a relationship in which both can look upon each other as sinless. Okay. So, whoever you have a relationship with right now, the purpose of being in that relationship is to make that relationship a holy relationship, which is a healed relationship, which is a loving relationship. So every relationship that we have in our life right now, the purpose of that relationship is to make it a healing, loving relationship. That's the purpose of all our relationships, for that relationship to become a loving, happy, healing relationship. And the Course says a teacher of love, a teacher of God, a teacher is a demonstrator. So what I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to share with you the definitions that the Course gives for its own terms. Like this, it says a teacher is a demonstrator, and God is love or truth. So if you were going to translate the Course, a teacher of love is nothing but a demonstrator of truth, a demonstrator of God. Which I noticed that I've been a person that's talked a lot of stuff, but I wasn't demonstrating it. I noticed that a lot of people around me talk a lot, especially in the truth community. It's like, we could talk it, man. We could talk it so good. But it's like, can you demonstrate it? Can you demonstrate what you're talking about? So he says, now, we don't have a set teaching level, but at the beginning, no matter how different the situations or the relationship begins, the Course says it always has the same purpose, to make up the relationship a holy relationship. And see, when people listen to the Course, they try to make up their own definitions. So people then go into, well, what does that mean to make up, to have a holy relationship? Well, it says in the next part of the sentence, it's a relationship in which both can look upon the Son of God as sinless. So a holy relationship is what I'm looking at you as if you're totally innocent. And I'm looking at you as if you're totally innocent, and I'm seeing you and everybody in here as if you are totally sinless and totally guiltless. Now, is that not completely 100% different from what traditional religion is teaching?
Yes.
Okay, so that's why we know it works.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it, and I'm not anti-traditional religion because I know the Holy Spirit can use anything to wake people up who really want to. That's what I love about my Creator. That I can't even come up with something my Creator couldn't use to take me back to peace. I'm not that smart. So there's nothing you can come up with that can't be used to get you out of whatever you're in, but to go to something even better. So let's get this straight. So I'm in a relationship with all of you to see you as innocent and sinless. That's the real reason why I'm in a relationship. And the Course calls a relationship a teaching-learning situation. So every time you're in a teaching-learning situation, you say, I'm in a relationship with this person, you say, well, I'm in a teaching-learning situation with you. You know, and everybody, and every weekend, see, it's getting close to the weekend, so we know tomorrow night the hunt will be on. Right? And we're going to all fix up our bodies and get the bait ready in some form or fashion, you know, the average person, right? And they're going to go out and they're going to get them a teaching-learning situation. And no matter what that teaching learning situation is, the purpose of it is for them to see that person as innocent, to see that person as sinless, which is the reason why I'm with you. I suspect that I have grievances from many lifetimes with all of y'all. Because the Course teaches that you're only attracted to somebody in a relationship that reminds you of past grievances that need to be forgiven. So the minute you're attracted to somebody, you know that somebody you're going to have to forgive sooner or later. Just because you want them. Because you can't want them unless you got a grievance with them. Why do you think you're attracted to some people and not to others?
Yeah.
Why do you get moved by some people and not other people? They remind you of something from the past that they have to atone for. Why do you think after a relationship people have rebound relationships? They need to restore their wounded self-esteem as fast as they possibly can. And so their ego took a mortal blow when that relationship didn't happen. So now we know the reason why I'm in a relationship with you is to see you as innocent and to see you as innocent and to see you as innocent. Now notice that doesn't take into account sex, race, social economic condition, or anything. So remember, anything real you can do with everybody. Anything that's unreal you can only do with specific people at specific times. So therefore, everything we feel guilty about is something that doesn't even exist in the first place. Because it's something we don't do with everybody. And anything you don't do with everybody is something that's not real. That's what the Course teaches. That's startling. That's hard to believe. Was that startling? What y'all think?
Yeah.
Any thoughts?
Wow.
Think more about the grievance.
Okay. All right. When a person walks in the room that you're attracted to, what you're doing is you're seeing somebody that you think will be able to take care of a specific need that you have based on what you've gone through with somebody else in the past. So they're going to make up for you what the other relationship didn't give you. I'm going to get with you what the last one didn't do. What I didn't get out of the last one, I'm going to get out of you. And I'm attracted to you because you're the one that meets what I think of as my needs based on my past experiences. In other words, you my type. Just a type, okay. And so what's so cool about it is in the beginning you have to come at it as if you love each other unconditionally and that you only see the good in each other, because if you didn't see it that way you wouldn't get involved. So at the beginning you see how it's going to turn out when you're really looking at each other correctly. That's why in the beginning people are pretty much easygoing and forgiving and they just pretty much overlook what's going on. And then after that, whatever it is in yourself that's unresolved that you're going to project on that person for you to work through, those things start to come up for healing. But the only thing that's really happening is that you're giving each other opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to learn how to see each other as sinless. And that's why. What better way to learn how to see me as sinless than to let me do all the stuff that looks like I'm guilty, and then you get a chance to not see it that way? How else am I going to learn how to see you as innocent unless I learn how to overlook the stuff that I'm trying to use to make you guilty? Okay, now, okay, this is what I just shared off of the first sentence. So let's see what the next one is going to be about. I'm on page 7. That's why I'm so thankful for Saturday, that I get a chance to talk longer. Okay, so what is a holy relationship?
An opportunity to see someone as sinless.
Boom. We can make it more complex than that, but it's not. It's an opportunity. It's another opportunity to be seasoned. Okay, so the core says, now, there's no one from whom a teacher of God cannot learn, and so there's no one from whom he can't teach. So I can learn from all of you, I can teach all of you, and since you can teach me, I can learn from you, you can teach. In other words, all of us are teachers and learners. Okay, then it goes on to say, however, and this is very important, however, from a practical point of view, you cannot meet everyone. So let's be practical. You need to learn how to see yourself as innocent so that you can get rid of the guilt that's creating your financial problem, your health problem, your relationship problem, your job problem, and anything else you think is upsetting you is coming from not seeing yourself as sinless. So therefore, you need to have some relationships that you can practice. And you can't meet everybody, and everybody can't meet you. Okay, we clear about that? We got to get this lesson, but I can't meet everybody, and everybody can't meet me. So he says, nor can everyone find him. I like that. You know, it's like, man, trying to find me. You know how it is when you're like, I don't want nobody to find me, okay? And so the court says, therefore, the plan, okay, includes what? Very specific contacts to be made for each demonstrator of love. All right, so that means that you can't meet everybody, everybody can't meet you, so you're going to have very specific contacts. And that's what this is. It's a very specific contact. Now, it's hard for us to believe that we don't need anybody else in this moment but each other. It's hard for me to believe that everything I need and every relationship that could ever free me is in this room with me right now. Because my ego always wants to make me think that the important people are never necessarily the ones that's right in front of me. I'm here to deal with the people who are important to me. That's why I'm here. And they're not here. So the truth would be just the opposite. The truth would be there's nobody missing from this moment, and everybody in my life, in this moment, in this room right now, they're all I need to escape from the world of guilt and fear and to move into this happy world, this peaceful world that the Course keeps talking about. That each one of you in this moment, there's no one else more important, not my son, not my daughter, not my friends, not my cousins, not my relatives. There is no one in the world, not your children, nobody, that's more important than the people that's in this room to your healing. Period. The rest of them are just special relationships. But this is the moment that we escape from guilt and fear. If we want to. Now, we don't have to, but the opportunity is here. All we have to do is hear the plan. So what does the plan say? Well, the first thing the plan told us was, there's no set teaching level, that every teacher of God has an opportunity to have a holy relationship, which is to learn how to see each other as innocent. I can't find everybody. Everybody can't find me, so I'm going to have some specific people I'm going to hook up with. Okay, now, therefore, he says, there are no accidents in salvation. There are no accidents in healing. There are no accidents in healing. What does that mean? That there are no accidents in healing. When you read in the Course, you would always go, what does that mean? And then you read the next sentence. Because the Course anticipates what you're going to ask before you ask it. So what does it mean that there are no accidents? It means those who are to meet will meet. So you met everybody that all your life you've been meeting everybody you were supposed to meet. We were supposed to meet. Okay, then he says, together, so that's about using the ideas, together, we have the potential for a holy healing relationship. Because guess what? You only meet the people that you're ready for. And you only meet the people that are ready for you. If I met you, I'm ready for you. And if I met you, you ready for me. I'm ready for you. You ready for me. I'm ready for you. You're ready for me. Isn't that radical?
Yeah.
I'm ready for you. You're ready for me. Because there are no accidents. So we met, and we wouldn't have met if we weren't ready for each other. So you only meet people that you're ready for, and nobody else. I just said, well, I know I wasn't ready for her. You know, my ego goes, no, you weren't ready for her. I know you weren't ready for her. And this, and the Holy Spirit said, there are no accidents. You only meet the people you're ready for. You know why you were ready? Because both of you were ready to see each other as sinners. You were ready. This is the point on your spiritual path that you're supposed to be dealing with your innocence.
Yahoo!
Right. About that too.
Not
me too. That's why I want to take advantage of you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't want you to take advantage of me. And remember, everything is real. We can do it anytime, any place, and how.
Mm-hmm.
You can only do the illusions in the dark. So I'm telling you again. We are feeling guilty about nothing. We're 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 feeling guilty about nothing. Because in most cases, what you're feeling guilty about is something your body said or did, and it didn't do it with everybody. So if it didn't do it with everybody, it didn't do it at all. So you're feeling guilty about nothing. Anything that you know about all by yourself and nobody else knows about it, it's nothing. If it was real, we'd all know about it. If it was real, it applied to all of us. That's how you tell the difference between the truth and the illusion. If it's true, it's up there for all of us because there is no selfish creator. If it's an illusion, it's just for me. That's why my car is an illusion, my clothes are an illusion, my DVR is an illusion, my Comcast cable box is an illusion, my iPod is an illusion, my clothes are an illusion, this book is an illusion, this table is an illusion, this microphone is an illusion. How do we know it's an illusion? Because it only has a specific purpose. You can't eat it. It has only one purpose. So anything that just has a specific purpose has no true generalizability, so therefore it is an illusion by definition because you cannot point out anything that's specific that will last forever. There's not one thing that you can tell me that has a shape or size or form that's going to last forever. So by definition, you know this couldn't ultimately be real because all of us know it doesn't last. So what I'm saying is not abstract. It's very true. And then even from a physics perspective, they'll tell you what I'm sitting on are atoms and molecules that are moving around. You know what I'm saying? I'm not even sitting on a solid chair. That's a scientific fact, folks. So every time you feel guilty about anything you've done in the body, you're feeling guilty about nothing. And so a holy relationship is a relationship in which you're always reminding each other that you're not guilty. That's a holy relationship. That's a healing relationship. All right, now, we're ready for each other. Okay, that was the first paragraph. I always like it when we got more intimate groups like this to throw the floor open for about 5 minutes and let people share or ask questions. I love to answer questions. I've been studying this for almost 30 years. Use me. I would just like to know what you think about what you've heard. First of all, if you're having a hard time staying conscious, that would be a great way to bring yourself into the present. Because the more what I'm saying is out of alignment with what your ego believes, the harder it will be for you to stay awake while I'm talking.
I think it's great because one of the things that I think is great is now, I mean, on top of everything, I believe it, so it makes it easier for me, but that every person that I meet, that every relationship that I have is something that I'm ready for, because that makes you appreciate it more.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad I'm ready for you.
I was thinking the opposite. I was thinking I'm glad that a lot of them are over.
You know what?
Double that one.
You know what I'm saying? Don't bother. Check this out. What's so cool about the truth? The truth is multifaceted like a diamond. So all of us could say something different and all of us be right. And it's true. That's what I love about the truth. Because I used to, when I was in my ego mind, I always thought either I was right and you were wrong, we both were agreeing. You know what I'm saying? It was always an either or. Now that I'm awakened more, I understand that just because I said something that sounds different from you doesn't mean you were wrong. I just gave you another facet. Like you said, so what both of you said was absolutely true. That if you looked at it correctly, you'd be going, God, I'm ready. I'm glad I'm ready for you. And then some of the relationships, you'd be going, God, I'm glad they're over. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, what I realized during a relationship breakup that especially the last one I had, was we broke up in terms of the form of that relationship when we forgave each other. That was our symbol of forgiving each other, that we were no longer going to stay with each other, not meeting our needs with each other, and denying ourselves with each other. Right. Yeah, it's like, okay, I love you so much that, you're free to not have to abdicate what you think you need in order for you to be happy. That's how much I want you to be happy. That's how you know you're beginning to see the person as sinless and guiltless, because you don't want somebody that you hate their guts to be happy. You stay with them. Unless you've gotten to the point within the relationship itself, which I think is an incredible transformation, when you're in the relationship and recognize each other's value and then use the relationship to constantly remind each other of each other's value. So you win. It's a win-win whether you're in the relationship form, and it's a win-win if you're not in the relationship form. It's both ways when you're in your right mind. Because every day you look at this, like there are relationships in my life that all I have to do is look at the person and I remember I'm cool. Just being with them is a reminder of my sinlessness and guiltlessness. Because that's all they remind me of. I have a relationship in Memphis that's like that. With a woman in the, we don't call ourselves men and women, we call ourselves beings in male and female bodies. And, it's so great being in a relationship with someone that's in the female body or the male body who know they're more than that. That's the easiest person in the world to be in a relationship with, because that's a person who knows that their salvation and their healing comes from you remembering how innocent you are. So they protect your innocence as much as you do. Because they realize that your innocence is blessing them as much as it's blessing you. So they're looking out for your innocence and your freedom and your safety, because they know that's theirs. That's what's so cool about this relationship. It's like we call each other to remind each other that we never try to limit each other, and we never try to restrict each other in any way. You know, and so you can't feel guilty with a person that's not trying to limit you. It's impossible. So the court says that.
You can't
feel guilty with a person that's not limiting you.
No.
It's not. Yeah, because they don't have anything to be upset with you about, because they're not trying to limit you in the first place, and they're just there to remind you that you are free. So if I'm here to remind you that you're free, what am I doing getting mad at you about using your freedom? Which is what happens in the world. Which is what happens in most special relationships. They're based on the idea of limitation. And then people won't have sense enough to at least get with somebody that wants the same limitations you want, so y'all can get along with each other. You know what I'm saying? You know, whatever the limit, there's nothing wrong with wanting a limitation if that's what it takes for you to feel safe for a while. Because you can always renegotiate a limitation, and you can always go, hey, well, I used to have that. I used to need you to be that way. I used to need things this way, but now I feel safer, so I don't feel as big of a need to try to control you anymore. So you can always renegotiate that.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So every day I realize that, so one of the ways I always know whether or not a man, or especially a woman, that I would be at least been interested in being in a relationship with, is somebody that I should really be in a relationship with, is whether or not they could accept my relationship with her. Because if they can't, they're not sane. Because anybody that knows the truth knows that you want love to expand and extend and not limit. And then so both people, they freak out. Mm-hmm. Because they immediately go to the body level of consciousness and they start immediately thinking about sex and all that stuff. You know. But the truth is, you just don't know what love is. Because if you knew what love was, you would realize there is no other person for you to be jealous of. There is no other person. Because that's ultimately what you're going to learn, is that there is nobody else. There never was anybody else. There never will be anybody else. There's nobody but you. And to some people, that sounds entirely crazy, and that's okay. But to some people, that makes total sense, and those are the ones I want to know. You see what I mean? I want to know the ones who realize I'm one. They like to go to parties, and they like to dress up, and they like to take trips, and they like to dance, just like the people who are crazy. You don't have to give up your earthly pleasures just to be with somebody that's sane. Actually, you can enjoy your earthly pleasures more. They'll think of something that you didn't think of. But did you try that?
No guilt.
Yeah. Oh, I want you to try this. You know. Oh, you did good, but can you do more than that to give you pleasure? You think you can be a little bit freer? Come on now. You can let yourself go a little bit better than that. That's a high level of consciousness. Okay? So let's go to the next paragraph. The next paragraph says, the simplest level of teaching appears to be quite superficial. It consists of what seems to be very casual encounters. Is this a casual, what seems to be a casual encounter? Basically. He says, a chance meeting of two apparent strangers in an elevator. It happens to me every day. I live in a high rise. A child who is not looking where he's going, run into an adult by chance. I flat have run into an adult by accident when I was a child, not watching where I was going. Two students happening to walk home together. I definitely in my lifetime happened to walk home with somebody. He says, these are not chance encounters either. So it's not even an accident that you meet the people in the elevator. That's deep. The Course says, each of them has the potential for becoming a teaching-learning situation. Perhaps the seeming strangers in the elevator will smile to one another. Perhaps the seeming strangers in the elevator will smile at one another. That happens. I have to remember when I'm in the elevator that this is a person. And so I don't know what it is when I get in the elevator. I forget that this is just another person. And I kind of go into elevator consciousness, which is a deep level of separation. Yeah. And then sometimes make me say, hey, you know, boy, this is a really cool day today, right? And then go, yeah, man, and it just clicks. It's just like somebody flicked a switch. That's what it feels like. It goes from we just two bodies that have nothing to do with each other to, yeah, man, I don't know. I don't know if I'm trying to get to my job right now. You know, all of a sudden they're just, and it's just like in a movie or something. It's like they're robots. And then you flick the switch by being real yourself. So as soon as you got real, they got real. As long as you were the robot person, they were the robot person. Okay? So he says, even at the level of the most casual encounter, like an elevator, it is possible for two people to lose sight of separate interests, if only for a moment. That moment of losing sight of separate interests is enough. Salvation, which means healing, has come. Okay, so the purpose of our relationship is for us to lose sight of separate interests. I'm with you so we'll stop thinking that we have different interests. I'm with you so that we'll learn we want the same thing. Love, we want the same thing. Peace, we want the same thing. Innocence, we want the same thing. Freedom. So the Course says, whenever you're with somebody and you don't believe your interests are separate from theirs, that's the moment that you have the healing. So if we sit in here tonight and we go, do all of you want peace? Did everybody go, yeah. Okay, at that moment we lost sight of separate interests, if only for a moment, that was enough. Whether we realize it or not, we just had some kind of a profound healing that benefits us in ways we don't even understand. All we have to do is go, do you want to have peace too? Yeah. Okay, we just did it. That was deep. Yeah. Let's do it again. Do you want to have peace too?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are going to be very specific contacts that are going to be sent to you that you are ready for right now. And as soon as you have that attraction, remind yourself, this is just another person that I'm supposed to see is sinless. So the first thing I need to do is the one thing, not do a doggone thing with them that makes me feel guilty. If I feel guilty, I don't need to do it. Not because it's wrong, but because if I think it's guilty, I'm increasing the idea of guilt, and therefore I'm moving away from the healing instead of toward the healing. So I'm looking to see who's coming toward me, not who's moving away from me. Because if you're moving away from me, I'm going to let you go. Because I know that you can possibly be the one I'm ready for. And who's ready for me. Because if you're ready for me, you'll be moving toward me so that we can lose sight of separate interests and do everything together that we could possibly do to make each other feel innocent and it's totally pleasurable and totally joyful in the process. And I'm not there to be there for you in old age. I'm not there to be your security blanket. That's not why we're in each other's life. We're in each other's life to lose sight of separate interests and to remember that we're innocent, because if we recognize our innocence, we'll get rid of the guilt that produces the problem in the first place. Second paragraph. Okay, any thoughts about that?
Good.
What's good about it? Tell me, Joy.
It helps you make a decision. I mean, it helps you, you know, if someone's coming towards you, you're going away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It helps you get some kind of idea of what to do.
Definitely some kind of idea how to look at it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, just because we're not ready for each other don't mean we're guilty. Because we're not ready for each other don't mean something's wrong with either one of us. It's nothing to do with any judgment about our value. We're just not ready for each other. And I've had, believe it or not, I've had women say that to me. I'm just not ready for you. Have you ever had somebody tell you that? I have. I'm just not ready for you.
Yeah.
That's the kindest, most loving thing that somebody could possibly say to me. Because I used to be like, sometimes hooking up with people who thought they were ready for me, but they weren't. And then you can always tell those relationships, they're hell. That's a little sign. In other words, you are ready for each other, but you don't know you're ready for each other, because you must be ready for each other because you met. But you don't know you're ready for each other because you think you're different. And since you think you're different, then you're not going for interests that are the same, you're going for interests that are different.
And if somebody says to you, I'm not ready for you, it's really good to believe
them. Yeah, 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 yeah. It really is. Thank you. Thank you for saying that. And also you'll get to the point that you'll know what a person that's ready for you is probably going to say back to you. They're probably going to say back to you exactly what you want to hear. They're probably going to say to you the thing you really want to hear. They was going to be, they say, you know what? I really believe that this thing is about love, and it's really about oneness, and it's about time for us to let go of these ideas about being sinful and guilty, and realize we just got to accept each other. See, I know what a sane person would say to me. So if I'm listening to a person, I know whether or not, now, but I don't just listen to them anymore. That was another one. I had to watch out. That used to get me too. Because people are so good at repeating things they hear. Okay, so, and then I know there are two of anybody I meet. There's two of me, there's two of everybody in the room. There's a you that's completely sane and loving and caring and heard a fly. And then there's a you that's a murderer that would kill me dead if I really made you mad enough or threatened you enough or whatever. It would be in self-defense, but you take me out. And unless I recognize that part of you, then I'll increase my possibilities of seeing it. I increase my possibility of seeing the part of you that will attack me if I pretend it is not there. And I'm not going to pretend it's not there. I just know that's not who you are. See the difference? You know, if there's a part of me that believes it's separate, and there's a part of me that believes it's one. The part of me that believes it's separate is the part of me that's afraid to trust you. And that part of me can be defensive. And you have that part, too. You know how I know you have that part?
Because
I have that part. Because I see you, and you see me. That's all I need to know. That's deep, isn't it? I don't care whether you think you got that part or not. Because both of us feel good from being in denial about that part. That's how we make ourselves feel good. We pretend that we don't have vicious thoughts. Because I'm nice. And you are. But there's a part of you that's a murderer too. Probably killed a fly or two in your lifetime. Mosquito too. What you eat today? The Course in Miracles says, those in the world of fear who think they're separate from God, appease their savage pains of hunger with dead things. and he's not talking about just meat.
Yeah,
because
we're aware.
Yeah, it's like dead things are also the vegetables you eat or whatever. You know, like once you snapped off with life, so to speak, you know, you're eating something that has been cut off from the source. You're wearing something that has been cut off from the source. And when I first read that, I went, man, God, he's talking about my Big Mac. You know, I'd be a trip if I walked up to the window and said, could I have some little dead decaying flesh with some cheese on it? I can't wait. Give me some dead greens while you're at it, and some dead peas. And so that's the way the Course is. It's like, it hits you like that. It's like, damn, then the ego goes, whew, I don't want the truth that deep. That's too real. That's too real. We do satisfy ourselves from things that seem like they've been cut off from physical life. And the ego says, well, feel guilty about that. You know, that's the ego's answer. Well, why don't y'all just feel bad? Because you can see people go, ooh. You gotta feel bad. Ooh, like that. Well, you trying to tell me I can't have a hot dog? this is too big of the truth asks for too big of a sacrifice. See, that's what the ego says. The ego meaning says you got to give up something. Like just now, like the ego would tell you, well, that means you can't have hamburgers. No, it's just saying you just need to see hamburgers correctly before you eat them. You need to start seeing hamburgers correctly. It's what? A call for love. A call for help. That's what you call it. You go, oh, I'm going to need this great big old call for help in the form of a hamburger. That's the way the Course says. You see, the Course says that God, all God sees in this world is a plaintive call for help in a world of misery. And he does not, he, she, it is not paying any attention to the form the call is coming in. Whether it's a forest fire or cancer makes no difference to spirit. All spirit knows is you are afraid, it is afraid, and you need love. It doesn't care what way you're calling for it. You only pay attention to the form of it when you're trying to decide whether or not you're going to help this one or that one. But somebody that's decided to help everybody wouldn't care what each individual story was, because everybody's going to get the car, like Oprah said. You got a car, and you got a car, and you got a car, and you got a car. So I don't need to know none of your stories because you all got a car. So I have to choose, do you deserve the car or do you deserve the car? Then I got to hear your stories to compare whether or not you deserve the car or not. So if I'm not going to give it to everybody, it brings up a need to judge that can't be avoided. You got to judge if you're going to single somebody out and then ask somebody else. But if you go, everybody's going to get it, I don't even know your story. I don't even know why you need a car. But if I was going to choose between you, I have to know why do you need one and weigh it against why do you need one. Then try to choose which one of you all are most deserving of the car. But if I went, you're both children of God, you deserve transportation. I don't even know your story. And that's what the Course says spirit deals with us. It don't care about our story. It just knows when we're not happy. And that we don't deserve to be in an unhappy state. Then it gives us the way out, right? And it's funny because the way out is to realize that the ultimate goal of every relationship that you're in is the same. To see each other as innocent. There's nobody you can't learn from, so there's nobody that you can't also teach. You're not going to meet everybody. Everybody's not going to find you. So there are some very specific contacts that's been set up for you. And you have the potential when you meet these people to have a healing relationship because you're ready for each other because you met each other. That's all you need to know. I'm ready for you because I met you. Sometimes I'm going to deal with people through having very casual encounters that seems like they're just chance meetings with somebody. And like many people come to my class, I see them one time, they give me the greatest hug, they'll say, hey, I really got a great benefit out of this, and I never lay my eyes on them again for the rest of my life. And they're usually the ones that say they're coming back. Usually the most enthusiastic ones are the ones that you don't see anymore. So I know when that person is being bubbling over with enthusiasm, this probably is going to be not the, probably the last time I see them. So I really try to give them as much love as I can and see our interest as the same and bless them in that moment. And then it's okay if they come back, okay if they don't. Because everything we need to give each other, we gave to each other in that moment. And if I gave them something that wasn't real, if I gave them something that wasn't completely real in that moment, then I'm going to want to get back in touch with them. Because there's a need I need for them to fulfill. Because I could have satisfied, and they could have satisfied, and we could have had a completely satisfying experience in that moment. Because we could have seen each other as innocent in that moment. And seeing each other as innocent didn't require our bodies to do anything together. You think our Creator would make it so we couldn't have the healing unless we came into some kind of physical contact? That would be the slow way. Mm-hmm. If I had to sound and talk you into something, that's the slow way to get something done. So the fastest way to join is beyond the body, but then the correct way to use the body is to join. It's to me to use my body to be a way to let you see how loved you are and how loved I am. And that's where we're going to take you out to dinner and sending you a card or just calling you to tell you how beautiful you are. That's using my body to join. And it can also be a physical interaction, but it's about what is the physical experience for? What are you doing the physical joining for? What are you doing the physical connection for? And when you wake up, you go, well, I know exactly what I'm doing it for. I'm doing it to lose sight of separate interests, because right now we both want this. And... so we lost sight of separate
interests. Well, we've never heard that before.
We lost sight of separate interests. Whenever you lose sight of separate interests, a healing has happened. Mm. Whenever you're doing anything with anybody and both of you want to do what you're doing together, you are in an innocent situation. Because you can't blame somebody for being just like you and doing just what you do. The people who have the hardest relationships together are the people who think they're different. It's not the people who think they're the same that have a hard time in relationships. It's the people who think they're different that have a hard time in relationships. Which isn't the same as saying you're unique. You can have a unique expression of your personality in yourself, but your purpose is the same. You got the same outlook. You got a common state of mind.
It's another way of saying you're guilty.
The difference is you're guilty because I'm always condemning you for not being the way I think you should be and doing something that I don't like and wishing that you would do it different, or I'm just plain out attacking you. I couldn't be attacking somebody unless I wanted attack. So, remember that. I only give what I want to receive. So if I'm attacking somebody, it's because I subconsciously want to be attacked myself. And that's what I try to be aware of when I get mad. I go, oh, doggone it, I want somebody to attack me. Why? Because I'm angry. And because I'm attacking, I want to be attacked. Oh, my goodness, I want to be attacked. And so if you're around more people now who you feel peace with and you feel more open to and you feel more affectionate around, you can safely say, boy, I really want to be loved right now. I really do want to be appreciated right now. Why? Because that's what I'm given. So I must really believe I deserve it. See, until I've given it, I know I'm faking it. Until I'm given it, I'm faking it. You see what I mean? If giving and receiving is the same, and you always receive what you give, then giving is asking. Because whatever you give, that's what you're asking for. So if you're really serious about receiving something and you're not just jiving, then you start giving it and demonstrating it yourself. Because if you do that, you know you're absolutely sincere about wanting it. Because you're actually living it and doing it. You see? So if you're the kind of person that's always asking for something that you don't do yourself, you can safely assume you don't really want what you're asking for. That your ego is just using it to keep you upset and separate. I want somebody to smile at me, but I never smile. I want somebody to give me a great big hug and love me, but I never give anybody a great big hug and love them. I want to be free, but I never give freedom. You know, it's so cool. If you want to be psychic, all you have to do is open your eyes. People think, swear you're psychic, and you're not necessarily psychic, which we all are. It's just that you now know how the guilty mind works, and you know how the innocent mind works. And you're listening to see which one is predominating in the personality of the person that you're around, so that you will know the best way to deal with that person, so that you won't be fooled. And that's how you stay safe. And then you see them as innocent while you're conscious of their insanity, which is a reflection of your own, that you're getting a chance to forgive. And you're also conscious of how loving they are, because that's also a part of you too. And you wouldn't be with them if you weren't ready for one. All right? I'm going to stop here. Holy Spirit. Yeah. Every time I hear this, then it helps tilt the scale over in the direction of more peace in my life. So I'm going to do the love offering. Thank you for sharing, God. Okay. We'll open it for a couple of minutes before we do the last part of it. Would anybody care to share with me one thing that they heard tonight that they would like to remember?
I love that part about the chance encounter. To me, that makes life even more exciting.
Could you elaborate on that just a little bit?
Everybody that comes into my life, whether I meet them on the elevator or they bump into me on the street or wherever they are, we're here together for a purpose, and the purpose is to join and forget about separation and help each other remember we're in it. It's like, wow,
that's
exciting.
Isn't it?
Thinking,
you know, one of the reasons why it's so exciting to me, because it's so doable. It's like what Spirit is asking me to do is easier than the plan that I made up. Because the plan that I made up, I believe me, is a lot more complicated than what you just said.
I have to search for that special person.
And when we say relationship, we're not just talking about a person. It's your relationship to anything. It's your relationship to anything.
So anything that shows up
in your life. Yeah, anything that shows up in your life, you're ready for. And then you can use anything in your life to make you feel innocent and make you feel really good. Or you can use anything in your life to make you feel pain. So it's also covered in inanimate objects or anything, or even thoughts that we have, especially thoughts that we have. You know, because one of the strangest things on the truth path is when you practice it and you watch your outer experience begin to clear up, and you still see you bitching and moaning about something. And then you realize that it's just you that's always selling yourself that story and making yourself miserable all the time, because even when the situation is improved, you're still telling yourself something that doesn't allow you to be joyful. And then he says that's the part that the person really freaks out, because they realize that it's themselves they hate, that it never was anybody else that was doing it to them in the first place. It was them doing it to themselves. He says so people at that point, either they want to kill themselves, or they realize that that's the point that they can really be the most free, because that means nobody out there is really against them, and it also means their creator never did anything to them either. So all of a sudden they see that they got a world full of support that they could call on, and people who really aren't the enemy. And they become just feel like they're in ecstasy. The other people who are more guilty, they feel like there's nothing to live for. It's just me doing it to myself, and I just can't stop doing it. You know. That's the other way people respond to recognizing that they're doing it to themselves. Oh, I'm doing it to myself. Oh. Okay. You know, if you come from that perspective, then you still don't believe you're doing it to yourself, because if you really believe you were doing it to yourself, Earl, you would immediately change your mind and feel better.
And you do that I do that in a lot of ways. Like turning off the damn television set is one way.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, in so many ways, I used to, because the whole guilty thing, there's only one story,
mm-hmm.
and it's mine.
Mm-hmm.
I can't blame anybody for it, and I can't say you did this or you did that. It's my story, it's my thought, it's my belief. And so what I've started doing, and I've been doing for years, is shutting more and more of that off in many different ways. And it's not necessarily lonely, it's peaceful.
Yeah.
I don't need to know all that crap.
Yeah.
I don't want to know all that crap.
Yeah.
I'm done with that.
Yeah.
At least for now.
Yeah. Yeah, because the next phase will be,